Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
Well, people, thank you for tuning in to the second hour. We've had some difficulties here listening, difficulty getting out, but we beat it. I think Sam said we got everything fixed. Google, all these other services Sam uses, I have no clue how this electronic stuff works, but Sam does. So I hope this hour here, it goes a little smoother than the first hour. What we have here tonight, people, we're going to our one and only Pastor Weaver, Pastor John Weaver. He's the head of Freedom Ministries. I believe he's a Southern Baptist, but he's a right-thinking Southern Baptist. He's a diehard, unreconstructed Confederate. And Pastor Weaver, are you there tonight, fellow? Are you with us?
Yes. How are you tonight, sir?
We're here. I'm doing great. I'm doing wonderful. We had to soldier through. We had some difficulties in the first hour, but we soldiered through. We had some great guests on. But, you know, Pastor, and I announced on the first hour, I gave him a little quickie, amateur prayer, because I'm saving the big-time prayer for you, Pastor Weaver. So if you will, Pastor Weaver, would you start our show off, bless our show, and try to get us on the good side of God here, Blood River, and just say a good prayer for us, Pastor
All
Weaver,
right.
If you don't mind.
I'll be glad to. Heavenly Father, we do come to thee in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is indeed the Messiah, our Lord and our Savior. And Lord, we ask your blessings only because of his person and work, and because, Lord, he is indeed God in the flesh. And we confess that and acknowledge that, and we bow to thy sovereignty and ask, Father, for your hand to be upon us. Give us grace that we may serve thee acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And we commit ourselves unto thee in and through the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Weaver. It's going to be, Jacob Tower, you know him well. He was with us the last time we did this show. But I will start off with a question, and then after you answer that, we'll go to the young Mr. Jacob. Pastor, I'm going to start off with one of the questions that I like that you sent me. Why is the Confederate battle flag so viciously attacked nowadays?
You'll have to repeat that. Why is the battle flag so what now?
Why is the Confederate battle flag attacked so viciously nowadays?
I suppose there could be a large number of answers for that. However, I could go ahead and say, first of all, it's because of absolute historical ignorance. In other words, most people have no idea about the flag, when it came into existence, why it came into existence, and secondly, I could answer also because of the leftists and the liberals who have been demonizing it and pronouncing mistruths and inaccuracies concerning it for over these years. And obviously, I've written a little pamphlet. In fact, I preached a message on the truth concerning the Confederate battle flag. And there are so many areas there that truth must be told. And if someone would just simply take the time to investigate and do some research, they could come to the realization themselves. But unhappily, most people will just simply listen to the TV and to the politicians and never, ever do any research for themselves.
That's a great answer. Jacob, would you like to tune in on that fella?
Absolutely. Hey, Pastor Weaver, it's a pleasure to be on air with you once again. And, regarding the battle flag issue as well, a thought comes to mind often for me. And as a pastor, it would be great to hear your input on this, because to me it seems like kind of a big deal. And I'd like to know if, maybe I'm blowing it out of proportion, or if as a pastor, as a man who literally makes it his day-to-day work to remind the rest of us what solid and consistent Christian living looks like. I see a huge issue in the way the history is misrepresented, like you're talking about, and how modern society, Christians in particular, buy into it so readily. And, you know, I reflect on how the scriptures tell us to honor our fathers and our mothers, for this is the first commandment with promise. Of course, we're told to look to the rock from whence we were hewn and things like that as well. But, you know, the issue that I see is that it is the very opposite of that command from Scripture to honor our fathers and mothers to readily buy into what amounts to slander against our forebears and ancestors. Am I blowing that out of proportion, or as a pastor, do you view that to be a sin as well?
Well, I agree with that. But you see, the part of even honoring our father and our mother even goes farther than that, because God said, thou shalt rise up before the hoary head and honor the old man. In other words, as you mentioned, it's not just our father and our mother, but it's also our ancestors who stood for truth and righteousness as well. And when you look at the war that took place between 1861 and 1865, it was indeed a war for independence. The war was not over slavery at all. Even the Union said that itself. They said that they were not fighting for the slaves, etc. No, they were fighting, quote-unquote, to preserve the Union. In fact, Abraham Lincoln himself said, and I'm quoting, and he wrote this to Horace Greeley, he said, I would save the Union. I would save it the shortest way that I could. And then he goes on to say this. He said, if I could save the Union without freeing any of the slaves, I would do so. If I could save it by freeing part of them, I would do so. If I could save it by not freeing any of them, I would do so. In other words, slavery had nothing to do with it. And when you look at the men in the South and the men in the North, when you look at even the Confederate generals, I know that there were several excellent men in the North, but by and large, all of the Confederate generals mostly were Christian and godly men and men of character. There was a vast difference. And I think one of the most decent men in the North was Joshua Chamberlain. But look at Lee and look at Jackson. Look at Stuart. Look at General Ewell. Look at all these men who stood the test of time and understood the Constitution. So it was even Jefferson Davis who said that if he had rather leave the Union with the Constitution than stay in it without the Constitution. So obviously we had men of principle and men of character, and so many people have never ever researched why the war was really genuinely fought. They just simply take what they've been told and said the war was over slavery, when indeed it really and truly was not.
Well, and of course, Lincoln suspended the Constitution to declare war on his own country and invade it.
Sure.
And I think that's...
Jacob, we got to go to a break quite quick, like, fella. I'll be right back. Got to go to a break, fella.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I ask you, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans will spend their entire lifetime purchasing food from the supermarkets while having no idea that almost every packaged food product on the grocery shelves is certified kosher. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics, politics, and our identity. In an effort to promote awareness to the kosher question, developers have published an app for your smartphone that features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at thekosherquestion.com. With the cesspool of politics getting even deeper these days, why not leave the swamp and start eating in favor of your own interests? Check out thekosherquestion.com today and download the app.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Excuse me, Captain. I know this may sound silly, but can you fly?
Nope. Never had lessons.
Well, people, we're right back. Jacob was talking when we went to the break, so we'll go right back. We have the one and only Pastor John Weaver on tonight. He's one of our favorite pastors. He's on tonight and with Freedom Ministries, I believe. Jacob knows more about that than I do. Jacob, go ahead. Take up where you left off, son.
Thank you, Pappy. Pastor Weaver.
Oh, Jacob.
Break, of course. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Sam will know. I'm going to ask this question for Sam. This question is to Pastor John Weaver. Was the war mostly about states' rights, Pastor John Weaver?
And the answer is yes, the war involved states' rights very clearly. It also involved economics as well, because the South had been footing about 75 to 80% of the federal budget, and all the money was being spent in the North. None of it was going in the South. In fact, many northern economists spoke this way themselves. Even some of the congressmen identified that. But yes, when you all boil this down, we have to remember this. It was the states that came together and formed the federal government. The federal government was to be the servant, and the states were to be the masters. And so obviously what happened during that war, everything was turned upside down, and now you have the federal master, and you have the states then as servants. But obviously, the states were indeed the true owners and the true masters, because they're the ones who made, quote-unquote, the federal government. And without the states, there would not be a federal government. So obviously, those states were going to fight for their rights. And of course, they should have fought for that. For instance, Virginia did not secede initially, but when Lincoln called for 75,000 volunteers to force the seven seceded states back into the Union, and then, of course, Virginia and several others said, no, you're not going to do this. This is not right. And so that's when the other states then seceded and joined the seven cotton states that had already seceded.
You know, Pastor Weaver, before we go back to Jacob, I remember something you said that really struck me the last time you were on our show. You said, you know, we have these people in the North and people in the South say, well, the South lost the war. And you said, no, the North and the South lost the war because we left a representative republic. And we descended into an almighty God, powerful central government of the Potomac. And I'll never forget that, because we did. The entire nation, according to what you told us, the entire nation lost. Now we're all under pretty much slavery. What do you think about that, Jacob?
That's exactly right. In fact, the truth of the matter is there have been many historians that we lost our republic and we became an empire at that particular point. And I hope everybody knows that Abraham Lincoln is the first one who introduced executive orders. Abraham Lincoln is the first one who basically said he was going to save the Constitution by destroying the Constitution, and he personally violated it at least 13 different ways, and some say 17 different ways. So, yeah, we lost our republic, and we turned into an empire.
Jacob, what do you think about that?
Well, for those of us who study the New World Order and those of us who study conspiracies around the world and whatnot, just recently I heard a great line on that. All of us here on this show, Pastor Weaver, identify as conspiracy theorists. A lot of us are just coincidence skeptics, as a friend of mine recently put it. And so those of us who study this conspiratorial series of events throughout history, because that's certainly, Abraham Lincoln we know is a pen pal of Karl Marx, and this has been really well documented stuff. We're not even in the realms of conspiracy, study what we say, stuff like that. But many people trace the New World Order, which we talk about and tie a lot of these things back into on the show here when we're talking about the assault on our culture, on our heritage, and we talk about all these issues that are facing our people today. And all of this is an extension of studying and exposing the machinations of this Luciferian satanic cabal. And many people in this field who study this trace the major instance of this country's real decline. I mean, it's not that there were no problems at all before the War of Secession and whatnot, but many people will trace it back to the fall of the South to the Lincoln administration. Would you agree with that assessment as well, Pastor Weaver?
Well, I don't know everything that you're referring to, but I do know this. I've read that and I've heard that. But the interesting thing is, when we talk about this, I think basically Lincoln was a puppet in one sense of the word. He had gotten into office. He made some bad decisions. And when I say bad decisions, he actually bought the office by promising offices to other people who had power and who had money. And although Lincoln himself was not necessarily an abolitionist, yet he sold himself to them in order to have power as well. And when you talk about the conspiracy, and you talk about, in fact, I would say this, the conspiracy goes all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. But,
amen.
And the Bible talks about a conspiracy, how the enemy have always conspired against God and against his people. And I don't care if you go back to the Illuminati, I don't care if you go back to wherever, you're always going to find someone conspiring not only against God and truth and righteousness, but also the people who stand for truth and righteousness.
Pastor, I believe the conspiracy goes back to Genesis 3:16, if I'm not mistaken. Go ahead, Jacob.
Is it, am I remembering correctly, Pastor Wade? Was it Psalm 2, the passage about, the rulers that counsel together against
sure.
the Lord and against his great might. it's literally, there's literally an entire psalm just about dedicated to discussing people in the highest echelons of power conspiring. And that's an important point to keep in mind too, folks, is at the end of the day, it's not even us, the American people, that they're conspiring against. What they're really conspiring against ultimately is God himself. It's the God of the universe they're trying to dethrone and tear
yes.
down. Getting back to the discussion at hand, though. Earlier, Pastor Weaver, you were mentioning the slavery aspect of it. And one thing I've always heard you bring up in your sermons, all of us, I'm sure, have, it's a very fascinating point to get into, and perhaps we could open that can of worms a bit here tonight, is the whole aspect of slavery itself. Everyone wants to hone in on that, and of course, there's all the extenuating points of discussion about the slavery component, but getting down to the brass tacks of it, the thing that gets people so lathered up about it, you know, well, the South had slaves, and that's universally wrong, and whatever you want to say about the noble intentions of the South and everything, they had slaves, and that had to be stopped. But very often, you very compellingly bring out in your sermons how there's, you know, slavery is this kind of blanket term in the modern context, but historically, it's been a very different animal. And, sure. You know, like breaking down the differences in like chattel slavery and actual man stealing, which is what we all universally have this revulsion against, and everyone all over the world, at least most people throughout the world, actually have a problem against. So could you discuss a little bit, you know, for our edification, sure, and whatnot, and the differences in slavery and how that ties in with the whole discussion at hand?
Well, the interesting thing is, yes, there were slaves in the South, but what a lot of the people do not know, there were slaves in the North. In fact, there were slaves all over the world. Slavery has been since creation. And the Hebrews were slaves in Egypt. I mean,
we have to go to a quick break, Pastor. We'll be right back. Hey, what was that thought?
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with John Hunt.
Negotiators from Congress and the White House are narrowing their differences on a sweeping $1 trillion plus economic rescue package. Talks went on through the evening last night and started once again early this morning as Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin said everyone is working very hard to make this happen. And senators from both parties using McConnell's GOP offer as a starting point. Preliminary Senate votes are set for tomorrow. McConnell said the goal is passage by Monday. The GOP plan aims to pump billions into $1,200 direct checks to Americans and billions into small business loans to pay idled workers during the global pandemic. The White House President Trump welcomes the stimulus plan, believing it is needed to stabilize the economy. This is USA Radio News.
Maybe you could relate to this. A lot of people think they're stuck with their health plan. It costs too much, or for whatever reason, they just don't like it. The great news, you are not stuck with it. There is a choice. It's called MediShare, and you could save so much. The typical savings for a family is $500 a month. Major difference maker. This is the affordable alternative to health insurance. And just to give you a little more info about MediShare, it's a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. It's worked beautifully for 26 years, has more than 400,000 members, and they've shared over $3 billion of each other's medical bills. So yes, they could help share your needs too. So you're not stuck. There's an excellent alternative. Whether you're single or married, you got a family, MediShare is super flexible. You can choose an option that works for you and start saving lots of money. You can join anytime. They're great to talk to. No pressure. Call 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The now-defunct presidential campaign for Michael Bloomberg is transferring $18 million in funds to the Democratic National Committee. The transfer does not qualify as a donation. Although the move is not illegal, it is possible due to the loophole that allows funds greater than the limit to be transferred from one campaign to another rather than donated. Bloomberg dropped out of the presidential race earlier this month and immediately supported Joe Biden. Bloomberg, a billionaire who self-funded his campaign, spent $500 million on campaign advertisement. Television shows are now donating medical supplies supported Joe Biden. Bloomberg, a billionaire who self-funded his campaign, spent $500 million on campaign advertisement. Television shows are now donating medical supplies to the real-life emergency personnel who need them in the fight against the coronavirus. The outbreak in the United States has led to a nationwide shortage of medical supplies and calls for donations of items necessary to treat patients. The television show Grey's Anatomy has stepped up to provide gloves.
We're right back, people. We're going to go directly back to the pastor, John, and let him finish that point that he was making before we went to the break. Go ahead, Pastor. Finish your point, if you will.
All right. Well, I was just going to demonstrate the fact that slaves were everywhere, and it has always been like that, and it's still like that. And by the way, the truth of the matter is, if you would do the research, all of the slaves that came into this country, in fact, I think the first ones came in 1619, and they came in on a Portuguese ship. But the countries that actually were involved in dealing with the slave market were not only the Portuguese and the Spanish, but later on the English, and then America in the northern states. Let me say this. Please listen carefully. Never did one slave come into this country on a Confederate ship or under the Confederate flag. Those slaves that were brought into the South came in under the Stars and Stripes. They came in under northern ships, and the northern ships, of course, were the ones who were really involved in the slave market. In fact, the Newell Hall and some of these other wealthy families in the North made their money in dealing with slaves. Now, obviously, there were a lot of white slaves as well. In fact, there's a book that says that they were slaves and they were white. Think of the Irish people who, indeed, were white and were slaves. And a lot of Englishmen were sold also into slavery by the Arabs. In fact, the Arabs are still involved in it. The Barbary pirates, in the Muslim countries today, slavery is still in existence. And what do you have today with the sex slavery? And what do you have with the kidnapping of young children and putting them into such practices? Slavery still goes on today, and there's all kinds of slavery. For instance, the Bible says the borrower is servant to the lender. There's an economic slavery. Most people who owe money to the bank, they're slaves. They're working for the bank. They're working to pay off their loan and to pay off their interest. Now, let me just point this out. I wanted to say this. When people try to say, well, the war was fought over slavery, no. Most people have never heard of what is known as the Corinne Amendment. Thomas Corinne is the one that introduced an amendment. This was before the war broke out. The Corinne Amendment said, basically, that Congress would not have any involvement with the domestic institutions in the South or anywhere. And the Corinne Amendment was trying to get the seven seceded states back into the Union. This bill was passed in the House and in the Senate. The bill was passed in March of 1861. The war did not begin until April of 1861. If the war had been over slavery, why in the world would anyone fight when it was being handed to the South on a silver platter? Moreover, Abraham Lincoln, in his first inaugural address, said he knew of the Corinne Amendment, he knew that it had been passed, and he said, and I'm quoting, he was not against making it irrevocable. In other words, it could never be changed. So Abraham Lincoln then gave his stamp of approval upon the Corinne Amendment. So obviously, this war was not over slavery whatsoever. I could go on and say this. I could point out the fact that the Emancipation Proclamation never, ever freed a slave. For instance, the Emancipation Proclamation did not even take effect until January of 1863. However, it was written in September of 1862. So if Lincoln was really interested in freeing the slaves, why did he not make it effective in September? Why did he wait till 1863? And the truth of the matter is, the Emancipation Proclamation was nothing more than a war measure. It never freed one slave. It did not free any slaves in the South because Lincoln had no authority in the South. And it did not free any slaves in the North because the Emancipation Proclamation exempted those states in which the North had absolute control. In fact, if you read the Emancipation Proclamation, he says it is a necessary war measure. So obviously the war could not have been over slavery. I don't know if you've ever read Lerone Bennett's book, Forced into Glory. Lerone Bennett was a black man, and he wrote this book, and he says concerning the Emancipation Proclamation and about Lincoln being the great emancipator, he says, no other American story is so enduring, no other American story is so comforting, no other American story is so false. And then he goes on to say that Lincoln never emancipated one slave in the North or in the South. He said, whatever the proclamation did, whatever it may have otherwise accomplished at the time it was issued, it did not liberate a single slave. And it didn't. And people today are celebrating the Emancipation Proclamation, and they had no idea what they were celebrating. When he said it was a necessary war measure, what he was trying to do was to create a slave rebellion in the South. What he wanted the slaves to do was to rise up, start murdering and burning homes, and then that would effectively empty the Confederate lines because the men would go back home and defend their families and defend their farms. And obviously, since that did not happen, that speaks volumes concerning the relationship between the blacks and the whites during that particular time.
That's a very, very, very interesting dissertation you gave there, Pastor Weaver. I'm going to make a quick comment, and Jacob, he kind of piqued my interest on this comment. He mentioned the conspiracy side to this, to the war, to the equation, and you referenced Genesis 3. I believe Genesis 3:16 is when it says that God's telling Eve that the beast, the serpent, will bruise her heel, but she will crush his head. I think that's probably what you're referring to. I don't know. But that can, like you said, that conspiracy goes on all the way back to the Garden of Eden, really. And I won't get on the conspiracy too much. But is it a stretch to say that Lincoln was being guided by a bunch of Christian-hating bankers, Jewish bankers, because I know he made the comment one time that he had the bankers in his rear, the Confederate armies in the front. He said he considered the bankers the most dangerous. Do you think, is this a stretch, that the chief cause was because, and you said yourself, Pastor, that the South had most of their generals, our top generals, were hardcore Christian. The South was known as the Christian nation. Was it really a battle of satanic people that in control of Lincoln in the North against a Christians? You know, it was Satan hating the Christian people. Is that a jump to bridge too far?
Well, let me point out the fact that there was indeed a theological concept during that war, and most of the Southern preachers viewed the war as an attack upon Christianity. In fact, a number of the prominent pastors in those days indeed said that, in fact, it was a war and against Christians and against Christianity. And when you start looking at men like Charles Sumner, Thaddeus Stevens, and some of these men who were just absolutely insane, Stanton, his own Secretary of War, was another one. I read where his daughter had died, and he kept her in his house for about 6 months after she was dead. And he would go running, screaming out in the woods and that kind of thing. And, I mean, there were people around Lincoln that were just absolutely insane. Most people do not know that Lincoln, of course, was not a believer. He held seances in the White House, and he even wrote a little booklet against Christianity. So,
Pastor Weaver, we have to go to a break, and I want, as soon as we come back, I want you to take up on that very point, and then we'll go to Jacob.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven Revealed. Big Q, Little Q, The Calm Before the Storm, available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues that affect the American West, its people, lifestyles, lands, and wildlife. The Loving Liberty Radio Network is proud to support the publisher's efforts to provide an active forum for solutions that preserve the vanishing American cowboy, farmer, and sheepherder. Each issue contains informative articles on life in the American West, along with breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of the cowboy spirit in our day. Each issue of Range Magazine also features great gift ideas, like the 2020 Real Buckaroo Calendar and the book Tales from Out There. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Just click on the shopping cart. The Loving Liberty Radio Network salutes the spirit of the American West and those who are keeping it alive at Range Magazine. Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit legal foundation committed to protecting our unalienable right to publicly acknowledge God. The Foundation for Moral Law exists to restore the knowledge of God in law and government and to acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by our fellow man, but by God. The foundation maintains a twofold focus. First, litigation within state and federal courts. Second, education. Conducting seminars to teach the necessity and importance of acknowledging God in law and government. How can you help? Please make a tax-deductible contribution, allowing foundation attorneys to continue the fight. You may also purchase various foundation products as well at morallaw.org. Located in Montgomery, Alabama, the Foundation for Moral Law is a nonprofit, tax-exempt 501c3, founded by Judge Roy Moore. Please partner with us to achieve this important mission. morallaw.org.
Being this is a 44 Magnum, the most powerful handgun in the world, and would blow your head clean off. You've got to ask yourself one question. Do I feel lucky? Well, do you, Bunk?
People, thank you for hanging on to the break. This is really got my interest really going. Pastor, I'm going to ask you a quick question. I want you to go right back to what you're talking about. And I'm going to ask your audience, what did President Reagan's office have? The Clinton's office, Eleanor Roosevelt's office. I say Eleanor Roosevelt. She was with FDR. What what do they all have in common with Abraham Lincoln's White House? And I would say, according to Pastor Weaver, they all dealt in the occult and astrology. You know, had President Reagan had his Billie Jean, with Dean Dixon went in. She was an astrologer. They said Reagan didn't make a move without his astrologer in there advising him. You know, the Clintons were big time into, was it Chelsea or was it the Hillary? Up there, no, I think it was Hillary. Hillary claims that she got advice from Eleanor Roosevelt, who'd been dead for years. Eleanor Roosevelt was in the occult. I didn't know, Lincoln. It's getting kind of spooky. Pastor Weaver, continue on, please, what you said about this. I didn't know that they had occults, that they had seances in the Lincoln White House, but I have heard that Lincoln's wife was just absolutely bat crazy and was in the occult herself. Continue on, Pastor. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, yeah, we were talking about a theological war, and it was a theological war in one sense of the word, because it was also a cultural war. We were talking about the fact that there is a vast difference between the North and the South, and obviously some of the pastors in those days understood this war, and for instance, if James Henley Thornwell, who was a Presbyterian pastor who died in 1862, he said this: the parties in this conflict are not merely atheists, socialists, communists, red Republicans, Jacobins on the one side, that'd be the North, and the Friends of Order and Regulated Freedom on the other, that's the South. And then he says this, in one word, the world is the battleground, Christianity and atheism the combatants, and the progress of humanity the stake. And so, obviously, yeah, and when you have men in charge that have absolutely no Christian convictions and no biblical principle, then obviously we're going to have, in other words, Moloch worship in the Bible was basically a state religion. Moloch means power, and that's what most people are looking for. They want power. And they go to wherever they think they can derive their power and get their power. So instead of going to God, they go to Satan. They go to the black magic. They go to whatever they can to derive their power. So clearly there is indeed a war. And yes, Lincoln was involved in seances. And even his wife said he died an infidel. He wrote a book against Christianity. It was burned and thrown into a fire by one man who said that, you know, if this ever gets out, you'll never be elected to anything. But he was an atheist, out and out, wicked man.
That's incredible. You know, we often hear, I mean, all that we ever really see in regard to Lincoln's spirituality is the occasional cherry-picked quote of his, where it sounds like he's saying something really warm and very Christian, despite the fact that his actions as president didn't really add up with those nice things he said. So that's really quite extraordinary to hear you talk about, Pastor Weaver, because, you know, here it's almost as if. The American public has only shown a very select portion of the writings of this man.
Yeah. Well, when you study and read about Lincoln's quote unquote spirituality, and the very fact you begin to get testimonies not only from his wife but his personal secretary, General Don Piatt, who knew him personally. In fact, Don Piatt said that after Lincoln was dead, he said, "I'm hearing about a man that I did not know, although I was around him for years." And so one of my pastor friends, who's now deceased with the Lord, he used to have a ministry. He'd go around to these little minute marks, and he would put in the little stands and have the little booklets for sale and that kind of thing. And one of the booklets was titled "Stonewall Jackson, the Christian." And the little girl behind the counter saw that title And she said, oh, I didn't know Stonewall Jackson was a Christian. She said, I knew Abraham Lincoln was. And my pastor friend looked at her and said, well, there's a difference. She said, what is it? He said, well, Stonewall Jackson was a Christian many years before he died. Lincoln didn't become one until after he died.
Oh, Lordy.
Yeah.
So true.
By that, and that's where all the Lincoln cult comes in and all the stories come in, you know, concerning Lincoln's spirituality and Lincoln's Christianity, which was absolutely nil. It was none whatsoever. And he himself said he never changed.
You know, Pastor, Jacob brought up another interesting point that, you know, that Lincoln was pen pals with Karl Marx, you know, and we have a supporter, a friend of ours. I was talking to him just morning, and he's a Christian and he's a constitutionalist, but he said the one thing that bothers him about the Constitution, even the Declaration of Independence, even though it, you know, Declaration of Independence mentions a creator, but, you know, he pointed out that he said a lot of the founders, I've heard it, that they were Freemasons, and they, the Freemasons worship a different creator, he was telling me. He said they talk about the Prince of the Morning, you know, the beautiful person. He said that they're worshiping Lucifer. And he said, if you go into, I'm maybe going to a rabbit trail. He said, if you pull up like Google Earth, for instance, and you pull up Washington, D.C., Google Earth, the satanic map, he said it's laid out perfectly. The streets form a perfect pentagram. And even the Washington Monument is an obelisk, which represents the sex member of a male in the occult. And he said that many of them, like, for instance, he said that George Washington, believe me, and I'm an admirer of George Washington. I'm just pointing out, maybe this didn't just start with Lincoln. Maybe this occult Satan worship goes back to the fact that, you know, President Lincoln swore his oath in on a Masonic Bible. And so does it go back further than that? Maybe I'm asking a rhetorical question. What about that, Pastor Weaver?
Well, you know, I don't know all that much, but I read a book on George Washington. And you know, And the fact that the picture that you see of Washington in Masonic uniform and Masonic garb was a picture that had been painted much, much, much later. In fact, the picture is not very old at all, but it's the one that everybody sees. Now, the one book that I did read concerning George Washington, the fact that he did go to a Masonic meeting, and he was a member, but the book went on to say that he only went several times. And back in those days, the young officers always hobnobbed with the older officers looking for promotion. Now, how deep Washington was in it, I do not know, but the book that I read said that he was not in it very deeply at all, that it was just several times that he went to a lodge, and that was it. Now, I would say this, though. When you think about even Masons today, most Masons have no idea what Masonry is all about. They have no idea what the upper echelons are involved in. And you don't get that information, I don't guess, until you get to be 32nd, 33rd degree, whatever. I've talked to men who believe up and down it's biblical, when I would say, no, it's not biblical. It's contrary to the Bible. And yet they're so confused and so deceived, it is absolutely unreal.
A point on
yes,
that.
Yes, Pastor, go ahead, Jacob. Go ahead. Take us out, Jacob.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, we're at the end of the hour. All right, well, as always, I said this just last hour, and I'll say it again. As always, we are criminally short on time, folks, and unfortunately, we have reached that point in the show again where we must bid you adieu and sign off. Pastor Weaver, let the audience know, once again, please, where they can listen to your sermons and how they can support your ministry and the excellent work you're doing once we get done listening to this program or broadcasting on it, in the case of those of us who are talking right now.
All right. Well, obviously, I have about 800 messages on sermonaudio.com, So if you just go to sermonaudio.com/Weaver, you will get those messages in audio. If you go to youtube.com and type in the word Jeet Feet, J-E-E-T-F-E-E-T, Jeet Feet, then obviously you're going to get videos as well. There will be a large number there.
Thank you so much, Pastor Weaver. It's been a delight, and we will have to get you back on to do a special on the Freemasons. Well, I can't wait to do that. As soon as you get free, we'll do that. Thank you, Jacob, for helping me out tonight. Thank you, Sam. God bless all of our audience out there. We love you so much, and we do this for you. And join in next week, the 28th. We'll do our show here. And if you want to tune in at 6 o'clock from 6 until 9, I will be with the political cesspool, James Edwards and Keith Alexander. We're going to have a roundtable there. God bless you. Good night, everybody.